You see, God places you in a place where you can hear the word. And he opens your heart to respond, because we are dead in our sins. We can't respond, but he opens it. But then it's your choice. Do you want to respond or not? Are you going to believe the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you going to harden your heart? Folks, if your heart has been hardened, you have closed it, pray that the Lord would open it.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church.
Now, Greg, today we wrap up our look at this encouraging portion of Scripture.
Yes, we do, Dave. Indeed, the account of the birth of the Philippian church is very encouraging. So let's turn there to Acts chapter 16 for the last time before we begin our in-depth study of the book of Philippians in our next broadcast.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
That he died for our sins. He went to the cross, paid the penalty of our sins on the cross in our place. And he died and he rose on the third day. He died for our sins. And it's not good news unless you know what he did. And you understand that you're a sinner. You see, if you don't know what you're being saved from, it's not good news. But it's great news if you recognize you need to be saved. Later on, we're going to see someone who says, "What must I do to be saved? I need a Savior." And we're going to see the answer is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. And so they're going to preach the gospel there. That's why Paul went there. That's why he went there. And so he and his companions arrive in Philippi. Isn't it amazing how God works? He has a desire to go to the cities. There's conflict. There's a subtraction, then there's addition. There's difficulty, but all in the midst of him trusting. There is stoppage, there is prohibition, and there is redirection. Tremendous, wonderful reality. Brothers and sisters, if you're about his business, you're going to have biblical desires. Desires that are good. Step out in faith as the Lord leads, as you prayerfully do, as I'm sure the Apostle Paul did. We see that throughout. And allow him to direct your path, even change your desires. The Apostle Paul isn't saying at this point, "Oh, we better go back to all those cities to go ahead and share the gospel that we first went to." That was initially the desire he had. Now he knows what the Lord is doing through this. God has taken him to this point where he's going to declare the gospel in Philippi. And then we see, notice, the birth of the Philippian church. Look at verse 13. "And on a Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled." Verse 14. "And a certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay.' And she prevailed on us." This is a truly wonderful, wonderful portion of Scripture. We see the church at Philippi birthed through a divinely enabled response to the word. Look at verse 13 again. "And on the Sabbath day," that's Saturday, right? That's a Jewish Sabbath. "We went outside the gate to the riverside where we were supposing there would be a place of prayer, and we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled." Isn't it amazing? This church starts with women, right? God is so gracious. He's so kind. And notice, there are some who would say that Paul was still following Jewish traditions, by the way. They would wrongly say that. There's an infection within the evangelical church these days with messianic congregations who bring in Judaism into the church. Like, and some of them worship on Saturdays because of passages like this. He wasn't going there to worship. He was going there, as we'll see, to find worshipers to share the gospel. That's what he was doing. You see, because what Paul would do, he would go to a synagogue first to share the gospel. If you look at Paul in Acts, he goes to the synagogue. Where are the Jews? God-fearers. Goes to the synagogue, shares the word of God. And if they don't respond, why dust off his feet? Now, evidently, there were not enough people to form a synagogue in Philippi. It takes 10 people to do so. And so with that in mind, they would have a place of prayer where people would assemble, God-fearers, those who wanted to follow the Lord of Israel, where they would assemble and pray. And so Paul goes to look for that place, and he goes there, and he finds some women praying there. Isn't that great? And guess what? They are worshipers. She's called a worshiper of God. Now, she's not saved yet. She is responding to the truth that God is bringing forth, and she's going to respond even further when the gospel comes forth. And on a Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we were supposing. We're going to look for those who might want to follow Christ. We're going to look for them first. We're going to look for those who are trying to follow Yahweh. We're going to look for them. There are some principles here in evangelism. They do go to look for the softer hearts first. We see later on in Acts chapter 10 that anyone who fears God is welcome to him. We'll see that. They don't go to the hardened hearts and spill the gospel out all over and have it trampled up. They go to a place where there are those who are soft. And so here, Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer, and we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. They're just women there. What a tremendous thing. And Paul began speaking with the women who had assembled. And obviously, because he said it earlier, they believed God had charged them to share the gospel. They were sharing the gospel in context. They're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what happened? A certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, that's in Asia, but she's obviously a resident here because she has a house here, a seller of purple fabric. She's a businesswoman, a worshiper of God. She was wanting to worship the God of Israel. That's why she was down at the river, by the way, was listening. What was she listening to? The gospel that the apostle Paul was sharing, that they were sharing. Notice it says we were sharing. And notice what happens. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. You know, it's the Lord who opens a heart for us to respond. And if he has opened your heart to the gospel and you do not respond, you're in deep trouble. You see, the Lord convicts. He enlightens every man. And he opened her heart to respond. Her heart was closed and it was opened to respond to the gospel. I need a Savior. I'm a sinner. And I believe that Jesus took on human flesh. God became man. And that he died for my sins, paid the full price. And that he was buried and rose from the dead. And whoever believed in the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. And she responded. She responded. This is the first convert in Europe. And what's interesting is she's a worshiper of God, but yet she hadn't been saved yet. And here she responds to the gospel, the thing spoken by Paul. Actually, turn to Acts chapter 10 for a minute. Acts chapter 10. This is when Peter was declaring to the first Gentile convert. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. And opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. The apostle Paul shared the gospel with these ladies who were worshipers of God. They weren't saved yet, and they responded. You see, God places you in a place where you can hear the word. And he opens your heart to respond because we are dead in our sins. We can't respond, but he opens it. But then it's your choice. Do you want to respond or not? Are you going to believe the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you going to harden your heart? Notice what's amazing about Lydia's conversion. The Lord opened her heart. Isn't that amazing? Folks, if your heart has been hardened, you have closed it, pray that the Lord would open it. Open my heart, Lord God, to respond. So then here, God saves Lydia, and the implication of some of the other women, but here specifically it's Lydia. And notice, there's a response. She's changed. There's a genuine conversion. There's a change. When someone believes in Jesus Christ and there is no change, I wonder if they believed in Jesus Christ. There is an instant change here. And when she and her whole household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. And she prevailed on us. She had an immediate desire to help them stay in my house right away. And it says her and her household were baptized. Now, there's some bad doctrine out there that basically, based on the next portion we're going to look at, that says, well, if you believe, your household's going to believe also. Well, no, it's the gospel that we respond to that we're saved. And obviously her household heard the gospel too, and they responded. And immediately they were baptized. That's an outward symbol of an inward reality. It's wanting to identify with Jesus Christ. I want to be obedient. And right away they were obedient. And right away they were gracious and loving towards brothers in Christ. So with that in mind, we have the beginning of the Philippian church. But notice, now, in the midst of this, we have satanic opposition. We have direct demonic opposition initially guised as an ally. Look at verse 18. And it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. This is a demon-possessed slave girl who, through the demonic, is able to fortune tell and actually make a good profit at it because the demons are helping her out, right? We're going to see that, having a spirit of divination. And she's making her masters big bucks. This is Philippi's psychic hotline, all right? This is what she is doing, all right? Fortune telling. And I posit to you that if you think the fortune telling and psychic stuff is just mumbo jumbo, nothing, there's demonic stuff behind that, folks. There is demonism behind that, okay? And here we see this in this passage. She was fortune-telling, and she made a lot of money at it because of the demon. Because later on, she doesn't make money when the demons are gone. So they are helping her somehow bring about fortunes that people want to pay for. Okay? So we're going to see. So with that in mind, notice what she's doing. Verse 17. Following after us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." That's an amazing statement. Is that true? Yes, it is true. So why is a demon-possessed slave girl appearing to ally herself, be an ally with Paul and Silas, and we have Luke at least, right? Why? Why is she saying, hey, these guys have the way of salvation. Listen to them, basically. Following them every day. Da-da-da-da, there they are, right? And she was doing this for many days. Verse 18, but Paul was greatly annoyed. Now that's a spiritual annoyance, right? Okay. Being greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her that very moment. Now why would Paul be annoyed if it was the gospel going out or they're pointing to him? Hey, that's all right. She's saying we got the gospel. That's a good thing. No, we have a fortune teller allying herself with the proclaimers of the gospel, proclaiming they have the way of salvation. But she's not saved. The Lord is not working through her at all. There are different reasons there. You see, Satan always tries to corrupt the ministry by seemingly associating with the ministry and agreeing with it and corrupting it. She's a demon-possessed girl. And she's going to be associated? Wow, they should have just brought her in. Hey, she's got some good ideas, right? No. Paul was greatly annoyed and cast out the demon. And so there was opposition, but it was opposition guised, in a sense, as an ally initially. But guess what? When God addresses it, Paul casts out the demon. Now it's going to be direct opposition, okay? Look at verse 19. But when her master saw their hope for profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and they are proclaiming customs in which it is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans." Remember, Philippi was a mini Rome. Roman citizenship was exalted. And if you were not a Roman citizen, you did not have the rights of a Roman citizen. So they're making these false accusations, and they're saying they're Jews, they're not Romans. And so they stirred up the magistrates to bring the punishment without a trial, by the way, because they weren't Romans. They falsely accused them. And notice what happens, verse 22, and a crowd rose up together against them. That's Paul and Silas. Now it's interesting, Luke is not there. Guess what? He's not a Jew. He's with them because we'll see the we's. But he's not the one they arrest. They arrest the Jews. You see what I'm saying? Assuming that they're not Roman citizens, by the way, which they're going to have a surprise in a little bit. And so a crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely and he, having such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Ouch. No trial, guilty, beaten with rods, thrown into the inner prison. In jails in these places, you'd have someone who would basically live on top of the jail, the jailer, and there would be floors down below underneath where they have the cells, and then the inner cells underneath, and so they're thrown into prison. This is evil. False accusation, guilty until proven nothing. You're guilty. You're guilty and you're beaten and you're imprisoned. But it's not deserved. So they had the opposition initially that seemed to go along with them. Secret, sneaky, demonic opposition. That didn't work. Now it's the full frontal attack. And so what happens? Paul and Silas, do they become angry, disillusioned, start complaining, maybe organize the prisoners to attempt a prison break? Well, for those of you who know the story, I'm being facetious. The opposite is true. They knew they had come to share the gospel. That's why they're in Philippi. That's what God had called them to do. And notice what happens in verse 25. But at about midnight, Paul and Silas were what? Praying and singing hymns of praise for who? To God. They weren't singing so that everyone would hear them. They were singing to God. There are some people who make a big deal about their religiousness for people to hear. That's not what they're doing. They're singing praises to God, and they're praying. And the prisoners were listening to them. They're listening. They're singing hymns of praise to God. Tremendous, wonderful reality. In the midst of a terrible circumstance, they trust the Lord, and they can praise Him, and they can give Him glory, singing hymns of praise to the Lord. He saved us from our sins. He's great. He died for our sins. Praises to the Lord. You know, I don't know what kind of songs you would hum and sing if you were in jail. Would you be humming, "There is a fountain filled with blood, and can it be at the cross, our great Savior?" The prisoners were listening to them. By the way, evidently the walls were thin in this prison, right? At least the inner walls. So what happens? But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. This is amazing. God shakes up the place, great earthquake. The doors, the house obviously crumbles to the point where the doors open, chains are removed. And look what happens here. So how does the jailer respond? By the way, if you were a Roman jailer and you lost your prisoners, you were dead. You see, there were consequences if you did your job wrong back in Rome. You were going to die. Okay, if you let your prisoners go, that's what happens. So he knows that, and he's assuming that. And when the jailer had been roused, verse 27, out of sleep, and had seen the doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. He's going to get killed by Rome, so he's going to do it himself. Supposing what? That the prisoners had escaped. And notice what Paul does. Verse 28, but Paul cried out with a loud voice saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." That's amazing. They could have escaped. They could have all run away. And somehow Paul's influence influenced the rest of the prisoners. Remember, they were all listening. Those other guys could have split, right? But they were all there. And so what does the jailer do? But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for the lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. That's a righteous, godly fear, by the way. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now, this doesn't come out of nowhere. How does a Philippian jailer living in a Roman colony that hasn't heard the gospel all of a sudden know about salvation? Obviously, he's been listening to their prayers and to their hymns of praise. And he says, "Sirs, what must I do?" Oh, I pray that your heart, if you don't know Christ, that you would be drawn to the conviction and fear of punishment, and yet recognize your need for salvation in your heart of hearts. What must I do to be saved? Saved from my sin. Tremendous reality. And what's the answer? "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your whole household." And they, that's Paul and Silas, by the way, spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his household. So he says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved." And then notice he explains it. They spoke the word to them. Sometimes people say, "That's all I got to say is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved." Well, sometimes they need an explanation. What does that mean from the word of God? And they spoke the word of God to them together with their whole household. Tremendous, wonderful reality. And what happens? Verse 33, and he took them that very hour that night and washed their wounds. Here we see the fruit of salvation right away. This is a guy who was their jailer, right? He could have washed their wounds beforehand, right? He certainly didn't before, did he? They were thrown in jail with the bloody marks on them. And immediately he was what? Baptized. He and all his household. Tremendous. They heard the word of God. Salvation. And notice more fruit of salvation. And he brought them into his house and set food before them. There's a genuine love for believers at this point. And there's a genuine joy over salvation. Look at this. And rejoiced greatly. What? Having believed in God with his whole household. Tremendous. Tremendous joy when you truly believe in Jesus. When you truly realize what he has saved you from. When you are saved from your sins and you're brought into a relationship with the living God and eternal life. There's joy. And there's a love for the body of Christ. You see that with Lydia. You see that with the jailer. And there's obedience. They got baptized right away. And this is the start of the Philippian church. And it all started with the Apostle Paul desiring to go see how the churches were where they had been before. And God redirected those desires in the midst of conflict, in the midst of stopping them from going one way and leading them to where they needed to be. And we have the birth of the Philippian church. Some of you are in need of salvation. You really do need to get to the point of your heart, what must I do to be saved? And have a genuine fear of God and turn and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe in him. And then for those of us, brothers and sisters, there's so many lessons here. I mean, I could go on for another hour and talk about all the tremendous applications, but be about the Lord's business. Be faithful, cultivate faithfulness. Trust him, dwell in the land, cultivate faithfulness. If the Lord moves your heart with a desire that's biblical and good, step forward in the context of trusting him and relying on him, and then trust him to direct your path. Paul was directed to be able to share this tremendous reality. And when opposition comes, pray and sing hymns of praise to God.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that he took on human flesh, that he came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that his work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to him and ask him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.